Please, please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them? Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
How's it going, everyone? This is your host, TJ Martinell, of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast, coming to you as usual from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. Date is May 16th, 2022. And this is going to be a shorter podcast. I'm going to be focusing on a specific topic. I'll just get right into it. Because I was trying to think, I was like, okay, what am I going to talk about? I'm trying to do more podcasting. I'm trying to figure out something to talk about and all that good stuff. And recently, I'm trying to find it because this guy tweeted something out that I wanted to read. Why have I not figured this? Okay, I retweeted this guy's. Why is this taking? Okay, so. This guy I follow, he's a fellow author on Twitter. You can find him at, his name is Alexander. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, actually. It's Greek, I'm assuming. And he tweeted out, there are millions of 18 to 30-year-olds who have zero hope for the future, are largely correct in their assessment, and the powers that be think it's funny, and they deserve it. And I retweeted that out, and just judging by his response, he got a lot of people to retweet, to like it, and then a lot of people commented in response. And so, one, I can imagine some of you guys are listening to this and you're having a reaction to it. How do we even want to approach this? I guess the main question is, do I fully agree with the statement? I would have worded it differently, but I understand what Alex is getting at. But this is a Rorschach test. This is, what do you see in that sentence? Because it really was a Rorschach test. People looked at it and they saw what they wanted to see. And an example of this is, because there's a lot of things to specify, millions of 18 to 30-year-olds, I'm assuming in the West, in America, who have zero hope for the future are largely correct in their assessment, and the powers that be think it's funny. So who are the powers that be? I think we can all agree that it's the people who are making decisions about the stuff that is making these kids miserable. But here's the kicker. This is where it finally dawned on me, based on some of the conversations I was having with people, is hope for the future. And the question is, hope for what? You know, in my own, the other thing is that I would note is, this was a macro statement. This was a statement about millions of 18 to 30-year-olds. And people saw it as being directed at them personally on an individual level. I mean, this is like someone tweeting out, there are millions of 18 to 30-year-olds who are overweight and are never going to be physically fit. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm a gym rat. My body fat percentage is within the range of an athlete. I actually was just rucking over at the gym, practicing my hikes, and the weather is still awful here, but I spend a lot of time in the gym. I've never been overweight. Or maybe at one point I might've been, I don't know. I wasn't really keeping a close track of my physical health until later in life, like in my 20s, but also I just had such a high metabolism. Point is, obesity is not a problem I personally have dealt with. That doesn't make the collective macro statement untrue. there are millions of 18 to 30 year olds who have obesity and they're never going to be physically fit. The fact that it doesn't apply to me and that I've never dealt with it, it doesn't change that because they're not contradictory statements. So the thing about hope for the future, really, hope is about expectations. So yes, if you don't have any expectations for life, then it's impossible to be hopeless. Like, hope means that you have to have an expectation of something. I noticed a couple of things is that one is nobody challenged that I think what I think is the biggest takeaway, the powers that be think it's funny and they deserve it. My question is, I don't think it's just the powers that be that think it's funny and that they deserve it. I think that there's a lot of just ordinary people not having to deal with these issues. And they are, in my opinion, they're the equivalent of the guy who survived, you know, the D-Day landing at Omaha Beach. And rather than chalking it up to a combination of maybe him making good decisions and then also just sheer luck, he instead is basically like, anybody who died on the beach just didn't zag when they should. They should have zigged when they zagged, like I did. Or some guy who's on the Western Front and he gets out of his foxhole to go, you know, relieve himself, and that foxhole gets blown up by a mortar, and he chalks him surviving to him making a good life choice. As opposed to war does not kill the worst soldiers. War kills indiscriminately at some point. You can be the best soldier in the world and you're still going to die. I mean, imagine if you were one of those young men among the British Army at the Battle of Somme, which was the worst battle in British history. I think it was like 50,000 men killed and wounded in a single day. Went across no man's land and got mowed down. They got mowed down so badly that the Germans stopped shooting. Even though there were men still, like, they just, the slaughter was so great, the German soldiers on the other side were like, just couldn't do it anymore. I mean, you had a bunch of machine gunners mowing down entire regiments. And so, if you were a young man who knew if you were a young man in those trenches, and you know you've got about an hour before they're going to blow the whistle and you got to go over the top, what mindset would they have? What mindset would you expect them to have? And so I think the part that really, I think, made this take off is a lot of people do feel hopeless. And this is where I'm going to bring a little bit of nuance into this discussion, is that people would say, the question to be asked, are they largely correct in their assessment? I'd say it depends on what they're hoping for. Because I'll give an example. If you are a man who doesn't want to get married, doesn't want to have kids, really doesn't care about where you go in life, you're just content to enjoy your sports ball, play video games, drink cheap beer, and just fool around. Well, okay, you're not going to be disappointed. Like, life is not going to disappoint you. If you have certain, well, and the other thing is, if you don't care about anything, if you don't care about the society, if you don't care about the culture, if you don't care about, and I would add also, this is the thing that's going on here, is that in what way does our society encourage people to have hope, and what do they encourage them to be hopeful about? because the message society conveys is that trannies should have hope, that one day they're going to be fully accepted by society. You know, like, there are certain groups of people who are taught and encouraged to have hope. It's not, you can argue about whether it's something they should be hopeful for. You can argue whether it's a good thing. That doesn't change or negate the fact that these people are allowed to have hope, good or bad. There are other people who are not allowed to have hope in anything. Nothing that makes them feel good. You know, try being a man who hopes to have 10 children and see how society responds. Or let me rephrase that. Imagine being a 19-year-old girl who wants to have 10 children. That is her hope. Is society giving them hope? Is it encouraging them to be hopeful about that? Now imagine you're a woman who wants to be childless and drink boxed wine and have fur babies. Society may not encourage you to be hopeful about that, but it's not going to discourage you. The other thing is, this also comes down to a collective observation also requires an individual examination. If you grew up in, 1960s California, I can see how you would be a little upset with what's gone on in the last 60 years. I mean, has life gotten better or worse for you in whatever area of life you're at? I'll go back to this. What are people taught to be hopeful for? You know, it's like that World Economic Conference, whatever it was, where it says, you know, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. That's such a hopeful statement. Yeah, you should hope for not owning anything and being happy. Because we all know deep down what that is. That is someone trying to put their voice into someone else's head. That is not someone telling you how you feel. That is someone telling you how you are supposed to feel. And this is, I think, one of the reasons why 18 to 30-year-olds have zero hope for the future. Their inner lives are absolutely, at best, neglected. At worst, they're seen as something to destroy. Like, the idea that these people have emotional needs, that they have their own emotions, that they have their own thoughts, their own dreams, their own things that they care about and passionate about, it's seen as something nobody cares. Nobody who's supposed to care about this stuff cares about it. I mean, I could go through all the dysfunctional things in our society, and the problem is there is no one problem that is causing this. So do I think that they should have zero hope for the future? I think that we are Star Wars fans here, guys, so I'll just say you need a new hope. Like, if your hope was to live in, I'm just throwing out a year, 1950s America, you should have no hope because it's not there. If you have hope of living a life that your parents used to live, it really depends on your circumstances. You know, I grew up in a middle-class city that is now the most expensive real estate in the country. The home I grew up in was bought for less than $200,000. That house is now probably going to be worth $1.8 million, and it'll probably be worth $2 million if and when they decide to sell it, right? Like, every single home in my hometown is over $1 million. So for me, unless I became a multimillionaire, hoping to live in my hometown there is no hope. The question is that something I should hope for? I mean, yes, if I could sit there and say, you know what, I want to move back to my hometown and I need to go make tons of money, and then I put all the effort into doing that, and then I went and saved up enough money, and then I went out and bought the house. Okay, great. But here's the problem. The town I grew up in doesn't exist anymore. The Bellevue of 1990s doesn't exist. That was a zeitgeist. I'm not sure if this is the correct word, zeitgeist. It is Because towns are more than just a place. It's made up of people, and the people aren't there anymore. Like, this is something where people really don't seem to understand. Places are tied ultimately to the people. If you remove the people, you have a different town. I think what happens is that if you set expectations correctly with people, they can have hope. But that you can't give them false expectations. But our society lies to kids all the time. We lie to people about everything. I mean, one of the classics is when they tell boys to be nice to girls, and that's a way of getting them to like you. I mean, it's a lie. It creates false expectations. So you need a new hope. You need like what do you hope for? Like, and this is, I think, the other thing is the world that we grew up in doesn't exist either. And for some people, that world was better than the world they're living in today. Ultimately on an individual basis, but collectively, I think that speaks for many millions of 18 to 30-year-olds. They grew up in a world that was better off, that was healthier than what we're living in today. The fact that some people are doing better today than they were, 10, 15 years ago doesn't negate that. It reminds me of that scene from the movie Rocky Balboa, where Rocky is going around and he's revisiting all these very memorable places that for him had many significant and special meaning. It was places where he took Adrian on the skating rink that doesn't exist anymore. Goes back to the old apartment or the pet store. He does this stuff every year for her, I think the anniversary of her death. And her brother is coming along and he's just not enjoying it. And Rocky doesn't understand why. And he goes, "Because you were good to her, those were good times for you. I treated her badly, those were bad times for me." So things that were memorable or meaningful or special or good for you doesn't mean it was good for someone else. There's people I know who thought like for World War II for them was the best years of their lives, but that's because they weren't in Okinawa or Iwo Jima or in the Ardennes Forest. They were enjoying the good side of the war. They were able to go to, they were stationed at home, or they were, a woman working in the war effort. But you get to go to social parties, you're hanging out with your friends, there's you're involved in an important effort, but you're not having to deal with all the bad stuff that comes with war. So when you're talking to an 18-year-old, I mean, what would you tell him to hope for? I mean, do you think he's going to have more rights in 10 years than he does today? He might. I'm not going to tell him that. Do you think that this, like, how many, I think this also goes to the marriage thing. Like, how many people, this has been a study. They are projecting it's an estimate. It could be wrong. I'm assuming it's not going to be wrong. Is that like 40% of women between the ages of 20 and 40, if I say it correctly, are going to be single in like 10 years. Like, we're going to have, okay, so let's play logic here, guys. That means that there are going to be a similar percentage of men who are, and also never been married. We're going to see a similar percentage of men, obviously, that are not going to be married either. Do you think that those marriages are ever going to happen? I think people confuse hopelessness with having a realistic understanding of the world around you. And this is where I would have a little bit of nuance with what Alexander's tweet said. By the way, you should pick up his books. I've read his books. They're good. You're smart enough to do this homework on your own. You can look up his stuff. I should probably actually just spell his name. So his last name is Hellene. So Alexander Helleny. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Nobody gets my last name right either. It's always Martinelli or Martel. So I'm empathetic. It is a problem that I too deal with. But guys, there's no dispute. The powers that be absolutely thinks it's hilarious. It makes them feel better because they get to thump their chests and take pride in the fact that they don't have to deal with this. And this is what I see as this very, like, kind of sadistic pleasure in watching the suffering of other people. You know, I think also for 18 to 30-year-old men in particular, but that's just because I'm a man. I don't fully understand, obviously, what it's like. For the women aspect of that is completely different from what I'm really thinking about. Well, like, if you live, for example, if you're a young person and you're living in the Seattle area, should you have hope in buying a house in that area? I mean, I've been talking about this with one of my relatives where he's got young kids. He's like, he's already thinking, like, how are my kids ever going to be able to afford to live here? So I think that the outcome of that is that his kids are going to have a healthy expectation because his dad's not saying, well, you should be able to go buy a house here and live the same lifestyle. No, that world doesn't exist anymore. So this is where it's really a question of zero hope for the future. I would say hope for the future in what sense? So this is why I go back to saying you need a new hope. You need to come up with, like, what is a realistic and accurate thing to hope for? And I, you know, people are like, well, tell us. This is where I have to, I have to give a spoiler, a shocking revelation, guys. I don't have the answer to every single life question for millions of people between the ages of 18 and 30. I don't have your answers. You're going to have to figure that out for yourself. You're going to have to figure out what you want. You know, and the question is, what do you want? What do you, you know, you got to separate what you want from what is practical and what is achievable. You know, I have some goals in life, or like things that I hope for and things that I strive for. But I think what Alex was getting at is there's a lot of people who were given hopes that have now been proven that they're never going to happen. And when you take away someone's hope in something, or when someone loses hope in something, that's worse than having never having any hope. I mean, this is why I think that medieval peasants didn't have these, in a lot of cases, didn't have these problems, is because their expectations were pretty realistic. You know, if you were born a peasant in some random English town or French community in a rural area, and your dad was a blacksmith, your life expectations are as grounded as they're going to be. You don't sit there being told, oh, well, anybody from anywhere can go and be a knight. No, you're not from noble birth. You're never going to be a knight. It's just never going to happen. You know, you're going to marry a girl who's probably within your own community. You're going to end up doing the same trade as your dad. Like, you, it's impossible. Like, people back then didn't have, I think, false hopes. I think that life was so difficult and hard, you didn't have, in a physical sense, you know, you got to get the harvest in, you got to be constantly working on stuff, you got to do everything on your own. You got to be, you have existential issues that, these things that we deal with today were not, you couldn't be dysfunctional the way that we are today. You couldn't rely on technology to bail you out of being an idiot. You know, if you were an idiot with your farming, you didn't eat. I mean, people today can afford to be stupid, can afford to deny reality, and not really suffer consequences, because we have an entire government that will cater to you, that will put you up on a pedestal, that will subsidize you at the expense of people who are actually functional. Yeah, if you're expecting society to give you hope in something that's real, tangible, and decent, you're going to be disappointed. If you're hoping to improve your life, for many of you, I'm not saying everybody, but for many of you, if you think that you're going to have people supporting you, there's many of you who are going to, if you want to achieve meaningful hope, you're going to have to burn bridges, because you probably are around people that who fed you false hopes. And they will double down on the idea that you didn't achieve those, You didn't achieve it or reach it, and it's all your fault. And like the powers that be, they think it's funny and that you deserve it. So this is where you have to watch what people do, not what they say. If you see somebody whose actions are just, when you follow them, are causing you problems, it's because that's the intent. And someone will say, well, you know, maybe they're well-intended. You know what? At a certain level, guys, and when you can't tell if someone's stupid or evil, it doesn't make a difference. If someone is malicious or well-intended, but the results are the same, you got to cut ties. And people who are around you who are indifferent to your suffering, or when you're discouraged, they lash out at you, you cut them out of your life. Because they see you in pain and it bothers them. So this is the hope that many of you are going to have to let go of. If you have hope that you're going to be, have, you know, I'm trying to think of like, let me put it this way. If I could go back, I say this often on this podcast. If I could go back in time, I could get in that DeLorean with the 88 miles per hour flux capacitor with the extra plutonium to get me back. And I could go back in time and talk to my young teenage self about what to hope for. I probably wouldn't tell him everything, but I would say, here are things that you think is going to happen, and they're just not tenable. Like, no matter what choices you make right now, well, I mean, yeah, I could have him play the stock market and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking more of like, if I was limited in what I could say, I could only say, what should he hope for? And I would say, here's our things that are never going to happen. You want them, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just never going to happen. And there are people who needed that talk but never got it. You know, one thing I'll give an example of to hope for, if you want a new hope, are you in good physical shape or are you a little overweight? If that's the case, then you can hope to be in better physical shape. It's something that you can control. The government really can't do anything about it. Society really can't do anything about it. Nobody can stop you from getting in better shape. That is something you can hope for. If you hope for being able to do some sort of like achievement of some kind that is, you know, like a hobby or something like that, like these are things that you can hope for. But hoping for, say, a society that is healthier, I mean, hopeful that eventually things get better, I guess that's something that you can hope for, but don't expect it necessarily. Don't be waiting for things to get better. You got to move on with your life. And I think that what Alex is what he touched on is that there's many people who are going through the grief phase, where they're coming to realization that what they thought was going to be is never going to be, and they're mourning a death of what they thought was going to be. I don't think anybody who criticized him is pointing this stuff out. Like, there is 18 to 30 year olds absolutely have just reason to feel despondent and discouraged. And there are times when we are all going to be discouraged and despondent and feel hopeless. But it's a phase that you got to get out of. You need a new hope. You need something to hope in. And yes, I'm sure that the people who are religiously inclined will say, well, you got to have faith in this and hope for this, hope for a better world in the next life. Well, you know, guys, in the meantime, we're in this life, and that's a completely separate question. That's avoiding the practical issue, or I'd say that is, in my opinion, it's a cop-out. Because it doesn't answer how a man or woman deals with living a life alone when they want to get married and have a family. Or someone who wanted to work in an industry that's been destroyed by the government. Or someone who is basically having to leave an area that they love because the politics there are so toxic and so destructive. I mean, these are the things that I'm where that doesn't address the issue. So I guess that's my short thoughts. I gotta hop on something else soon. So that's kind of the takeaway, is that people are justified in experiencing hopelessness and the sense that life for the future in a lot of cases is not going to get better. The question is, how do you react to it? And I've done a couple podcasts on this where I was saying, like, guys, this is probably, it's going to be a lot of mitigating. There's not going to be a solution. This is like getting, in a lot of cases, this is like finding out that you have cancer and it's incurable, but it's treatable. And so you're going to live the rest of your life with that cancer, and it can go into remission, and sometimes you'll have to deal with it, but there is no cure. So there is no solution to the problem. Except when you die, that's the only time it'll go away. But that doesn't address the issue of what do you do in between the now and then. All right, I think that's all I'm going to say. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, as always, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.